News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting the Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, we like to say constantly. And that's because we are. And listen, we're going to do all we can to try and fill you in on some of the things you may or may not see in the news, or at the very least, take all these different aggregates of news stories out there and coalesce them into a way that makes sense. And so I said that I got them triple dipper today. Triple dipper, three stories you got to know, all right? And the three stories you got to know, the first one is the fact that Montgomery legislators, our state House and state Senate members, are headed down to Montgomery right now. In fact, I believe they may have just convened in the last 20 or 30 minutes for a special session, largely to deal with the question of how to fix our broken down prison system in Alabama. And if you're not familiar, Alabama's been the subject of federal litigation for quite some time. I'm talking for quite some time, all right? And this has been going on and on and on, and the threat is there that if we have not shown significant progress in some of the things that are our issues, not the least of which is the fact that we have massive overcrowding and we have broken down facilities, that we're going to see what happened to California in 2011, which is when the federal courts intervened in California and turned any number of prisoners free and just set them loose on the streets of California. Well, that's an untenable situation. Now, listen, I will say this. States have to fight back as best they can against federal overreach. And the Obama administration started this lawsuit, if I'm not mistaken. The ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and others were the parties who acted. But this has also been a DOJ action. And by the way, the DOJ maintained the action even during the Trump era. So don't think this is a non-issue, that it's all partisan, all right? I do believe some partisanship played in. I do believe that we've gotten difficult rulings at times from a judge who was a very liberal a judge. But nonetheless, we are still dealing with something that is being pursued by the Department of Justice through more than one administration, all right, Republican and Democrat. And that's a big deal. But the states have got a reason to have to, I mean, states have a sovereign right under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution to stand up and defend. And so our Attorney General's office, through multiple attorney generals, by the way, has also been defending the state. And that's big doings. Well, let me just go on to say, too, that in all manner of respects, all right, the states have to defend against federal overreach. And I'm going to come back to this Montgomery special session because that's going to, I got to spend a lot of time unpacking that for you. But let me just start with the premise of this. Your state legislators, your state attorney general, and your governor are the first lines of defense for things that could impact your state, sometimes inside and sometimes outside of the state borders. We have got to have the right people in office willing to take the right stands at the right time. And we cannot afford to have people kicking the can down the road like I talked about earlier. It's so frustrating. Having been on the inside of it, it's so frustrating to know that there are guys down there who are trying hard and doing good things. We got several right here in this listening area who scored extremely high on the Alabama Policy Institute's legislative scorecard, which if you haven't seen it, go to my website, rightsideradio.org. We got a scorecard up there that'll show you how your folks did, House and Senate, in the last legislative session. Are they conservative or not? But I'm going to tell you right now, what's interesting to me is there are other leaders around the state showing how it can be done. For instance, I've got an article right here that I think came from The Hill magazine, Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich. He actually wrote a piece called Biden's Vaccine Mandates and Other Abuses Must Be Stopped by the States. That's exactly what I'm saying, y'all. This is the kind of thing that has to happen. We have to know that we've got people in office. He says that right now, the COVID-19 vaccine mandates from the president are among the most egregious violations of state sovereignty this nation has ever witnessed. He says it's a complete attempt to nationalize healthcare in the United States. He even says, under our Constitution, the president is not a king who can exercise this sort of unbridled power unilaterally. And even King George III, would not have dreamed that he would enact such sweeping policies by a royal decree alone, but that's what we are seeing with Joe Biden. And he goes on to talk about the fact that the states are what we call, by the founders' words, the laboratories of democracy. The 10th Amendment does say, those powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited to it by the states are reserved to the states respectively or to their peoples. And folks, we've seen this in other places too. And there have been a few times I've seen this in our legislature lately. But by and large, what I'm also seeing is they ran as conservatives and they govern as centrists, sometimes even leftists. And that's disturbing to me. When I watch things like what's happening in Florida right now with Governor Ron DeSantis, who, and I met several Florida legislators who say, yeah, he's the real deal, by the way. I mean, they'll tell you. Legislators will tell you in a heartbeat if they don't like their governor. I'm just telling you they will. I've seen it. And so they'll speak out quickly. But the guys that I met at a conference in D.C. just a few months ago told me that literally DeSantis is everything he appears to be. I'm sort of hoping that he's a potential presidential candidate. Depends on what happens with Trump, I guess. But nonetheless, I hope that we're going to see a DeSantis-type presidency come up in about 3 years. But he did something the other day that I thought was cool. Copper, go ahead and get clip four ready and let me know when you're ready with it. But Governor DeSantis, as a statesman, stood up on behalf of his state, and he basically found out, like Alabama has, that the monoclonal antibody treatments that are necessary for his state, just like they're necessary for Alabama, the monoclonal antibody treatments have been cut back by Health and Human Services, seemingly to the red states. And that's very troublesome. So what did he do? He didn't sit idly by like our state health officer Scott Harris did. He went out and he found out how to buy it separately. He went straight to the manufacturer. And I got a little clip here for you I'm going to play before I get back to the Montgomery legislation. Oh, I see you're ready for it, Copper. I tell you what, this is Governor Ron DeSantis talking about the fact that he saw a need and he went and took care of it by buying it himself. Play clip four.
Florida and other states is wrong. It's not consistent with the promise that was made just a couple weeks ago. And we are going to continue to fight against that. At the same time, I, as governor, have a responsibility to do everything I can to provide help for folks who need it. And so, yes, we have much lower hospital numbers, much lower cases. Everything like that is much better than it was a month ago. But at the same time, COVID doesn't go away. At the same time, we do see people who are vaccinated, who've tested positive much more frequently than we had anticipated just 6 months ago. And so we know there's going to be a continuing need to make this early treatment available for folks. And so I'm in some respects, sad that I have to announce, but I am happy that we're not just sitting on our rump. We're making things happen. So the state of Florida has been able to acquire an additional 3,000 doses of the monoclonal antibody Sotrovimab, which is manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline. It got emergency use approval just a few months ago. The clinical data that they had was really, really strong. In fact, it was even stronger than Regeneron.
You can go ahead and stop there, Copper. Go ahead and stop there. He's talking about the benefits of that particular monoclonal antibody treatment. But what he's saying there, the part that I really wanted you to hear, was when the governor of Florida said, we're not just going to sit idly by, and he didn't just use words, he went and took action. And that's exactly what our state officials have to do on our behalf. Well, right now what we're dealing with is this. We have a situation in the state of Alabama. It has been brewing for a long time. A long time. Our prison system was largely built 40 and 50 years ago. And it was built in a sort of an archaic way where back in the day, they would put these prisons out in remote areas largely as a jobs program for the rural counties. Sometimes with kind of like no real forethought about where they put it. And the infrastructure in those prison systems is crumbling to the point that I've literally been in some of them and seen they're just like warehouses of people. There's no safety. I'd hate to be a security guard there. And when I was in the state legislature, I was grieved by the fact that I think we had two prison guards while I was there in 2016 that were killed in prison riots because the conditions they work in are so heinous. Well, we've got to fix that. So right now, the Alabama State Senate and House have convened in a special session. And they're going down there right now to look at a plan that does construct new prisons. And as much as I hate the idea of having to incur additional debt, as much as I hate the idea of moving through the fact that we have budget surpluses and that they've largely earmarked those surpluses for other things already, we're going to wind up needing to do something this week to 10 days. Right now, here's what they've got. The plan calls for a multi-phase proposal. Phase one is building two new 4,000-bed men's facilities in Elmore and Escambia counties. They're going to build them on already state-owned property, so they won't have to buy the land. They're going to pay for them with about $143 million in surplus funds. And keep in mind, some of you out there in the private sector who suffered through the pandemic, your state made a lot of money in the last year. All right? They did. The state brought in a lot of revenue. So that being said, they got $143 million surplus in the general fund that they're going to use. But that's not it. Then they've also gotten COVID relief funds. And they've got another $2.2 billion, I believe it was, in COVID relief funds from the federal government dropping in. And they're going to allocate $400 million of that towards this prison plan. And then on top of that, they're going to take out a $785 million bond. All right. Now, this bond is debt. It's debt they have to repay. And they're going to pay it back over a period of 20 years at $50 million a year. But they believe they'll see the savings by having the new prisons take away some of the heavy maintenance costs they've had to pay in previous years to keep the old prisons running. So it's a bit of a shell game. And unfortunately, it's necessary. And I hate the idea of being pushed back against a wall and having to make a decision because you have to, not because you want to. But that's where we are. They're looking at a $1.2 to $1.3 billion to fix the prison system. And we've got to, because if we don't, we run the risk of several things. We run the risk of more prison guards dying, and we run the risk of the courts intervening and saying, hey, you know what? You didn't meet our intent. So we're going to have to reduce your prison population like immediately. And next thing you know, they're releasing prisoners, which, by the way, like I said, they did already in California in 2012, 11 or 12. Folks, it's a hard situation. But here's some things that you need to know. There are some ways to alleviate this cost and expense. There's some things that the Alabama Policy Institute sent to the legislators today. I helped draft a proposal to the legislature just this morning, and we got it out to them. It's in their hands. What they'll do with it, I don't know. But I do know they have more options. So we're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, I want to tell you about some options that actually are available. Did you know that we have billions of dollars in an Alabama savings account? Most people don't know that. Billions of dollars in an Alabama savings account. It's called a rainy day fund. Well, how rainy does it have to be to use it? We'll talk about that when I get back. We'll also talk about the fact that there's two budgets, but only one of them's helped picking up the tab. That needs a change. I'll talk about that more too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, down in Montgomery there, spending your money. But we're solid conservative and just plain right, and we'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Copper, thank you for moving some of those ads around so we can get ourselves back on the air. I appreciate that very much. And hey, listen, we've had Larry holding on line three for goodness knows how long. So let me just go straight to line three before I talk any more and just take a call from Larry from Huntsville. Hey, Larry, Phil Williams, thanks for holding on so long, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil, I just felt this was a great subject today that you're talking about.
Well, thanks.
And I have been a member of the Independent Agents Association Legislative Committee for years, and one of the ways to pay for this prison situation would be simple, and that is getting rid of the premium tax cutout that we give to Alpha and State Farm. This is $40 million a year, and a lot of people don't realize this, but that's the number one, asset for the general fund is the premium tax. And they've been getting this. The Democrats gave them this cutout in 1993, and they've been getting it ever since. And it's
wow.
To the tune of $40 million a year for two companies.
What about Blue Cross? Do they get a cutout? Do you recall?
Against us, for one thing.
Well, and so, Larry, you make a great point. Hey, Larry, let me jump in there real quick. You make a great point. So, does Blue Cross also get that same cutout? I don't recall.
No, this is mainly for hiring in-state employees and buildings is what it was originally supposed to be. But there's no sunset on it, and they haven't hired people or built new buildings in years, and they're still getting this money.
Yeah, well,
so it's basically property and casualty, not the health insurance.
Okay. Well, that, you know what, Larry, you bring up a great point. We do see that too often down in Montgomery, where special interests, you know, some would call them just plain old special interests, and others would call them, like favored nation status almost. They seem to get perks and benefits on the side, and that does wind up harming things at times. So, hey, Larry, thanks for holding on as long as you did. Appreciate you being in the audience and for hanging on through an extended break when we had our technical difficulties there at the top of the hour. But he makes a great point, folks. I mean, here we are spending tax money, and we also shortchange ourselves at times by giving some folks carve-outs that other people don't get, other businesses don't get. And I'm not ever going to go down the old Biden, they need to pay their fair share. I'm not doing that at all. What I am saying is it's interesting when you see one that has to pay it but another doesn't. And that's curious. But let me go back to the topic at hand, all right? So here they are coming down to Montgomery. You know, and like Larry said a moment ago, glad we're bringing this topic up. Most folks, this is flying under the radar. They're not really seeing this because everything right now, if you turn on the news, is about what's happening in D.C. You don't get the same kind of news you need for your state. But yet, these are your state dollars, all right? And one of the things that's happening is they're looking at building new prisons. Well, we got to do it. I talked about that ad nauseum in the last half hour segment. But let me tell you a couple of ways this could be paid for or at least accommodated in a different way. All right, we have a split budget system. I talked about that with Copper right about, what time was that? Around 2:25, we were talking about split budgeting. And the fact that Alabama is one of only three states in the nation that is hamstrung in the way it does business by the fact that we have two budgets. Everything in the world education is in one, and it has its special revenue streams like sales tax and payroll tax. And those things are good. When the economy goes up, those things go up. The general fund is the other budget. That's everything else in the world it takes to run the state. Now, can you imagine in your household, let's say the husband and wife are both working. Both spouses are working. They bring in two incomes. But the husband's income can only pay the mortgage, and the wife's income can pay everything else. And let's say, what if the husband loses a job and the wife says, well, I'm sorry, I can't pay the mortgage. What do you mean you can't pay the mortgage? We both live here. Yes, but my revenues are designed for these expenses only. I can't pay the mortgage. Yes, but you have an excess. It doesn't matter. My income only goes to these things. You have to pay the mortgage. That's what happens in Montgomery every single year. It's maddening. Well, right now, they're going down there to have to spend upwards of $1.2 to $1.3 billion, and they're going to pay for it with three components. They got $143 million in excess, which is great. That also means they collected more than they needed, but they've got $143 million excess in the general fund, not the education, but the general fund. And then they're going to take out a $785 million bond issue, and they're also going to use some money from the federal government, $400 million. That $785 million bond issue is debt. They're going to have to pay it back for 20 years under the plan they've got right now. Now, they have to pay it back. It's like taking out a loan, basically. $50 million a year. I understand they have to do it. However, I look at this and think, here's an article from AL.com, paper. Just last week, Alabama is on track to end its budget year with a hefty balance in the education trust fund. So they're taking $143 million out of the general fund, which is always hurting. And yet, they are projected right now to have $750 million excess in the education budget. Excess. They're going to borrow $785 million, but yet they have $750 million excess in the education budget. But the crazy thing about Montgomery is you can't just grab that money and appropriate it where you feel like you want to, because it's earmarked by state law and it cannot be used for non-education purposes. Well, folks, let me tell you something. One of the things, and I know this for a fact because I met with the planners. I've seen the plans for the prisons. They include education facilities. They include facilities that are designed for rehabilitation. They include job skills. They include all the things it takes to equip someone in prison to come out of prison and not go back to prison. And if we're going to let the education budget have a $750 million balance and not help pay for those education facilities and all those things and offset the cost to the general fund, that's just wrong. That makes as much sense as the, or makes no sense, but it makes about as much sense as the illustration I gave you a moment ago with the two spouses having an income and the wife says, well, husband, you lost your job, therefore we can't pay the mortgage. Well, why not? Because your revenue is the one dedicated to mortgage and mine's dedicated to other things. But yes, you have a surplus. Doesn't matter. It's the wrong revenue source. That's a ridiculous way to run a household. It's a ridiculous way to run a state. And the idea that we're going to borrow $785 million while there's a $750 million excess in one of our other budgets is somewhat maddening. But then let's take another look. I mentioned a while ago that you have a savings account. Did you know you have a savings account? Most folks don't know we have a savings account. It's crazy. Folks, we have a thing called the Alabama Trust Fund. It is largely funded with the revenues received from oil and gas revenue exploration off the coast of our southern shores. All right, so in Gulf Coast exploration, we earn a lot of money. At the end of last quarter, the Alabama Trust Fund held over $3.2 billion. $3.2 billion. That is basically your state savings account. We are one of the most solvent states in the nation. Did you know that? It's pretty good news. We're one of the most solvent states in the nation. $3.2 billion sitting in this fund. Now, by the way, I believe you should have a buffer. I believe that we should have reserve accounts. I believe that we should spend within our means. I believe that we should have the requirement that we balance the budgets. And Alabama has been fairly good at that since the Republicans took the majority in 2010. You've not seen anything but balanced budgets ever since then. But all that to say, if we're going to borrow $785 million, I'd rather borrow it from ourselves. It's sort of like having your own retirement plan, and you know you can borrow against it as long as you pay it back. Well, this is the same thing. And if we're going to borrow the $785 million on a bond issue, I would strongly suggest that we come back with a vote of the people, which is what it would have to be to get it out of the trust fund. But come back with that vote of the people and say, you know what? We just don't feel like paying the bond companies for the next 20 years. So in about a year, we're going to vote at the polls, and we could put this on the ballot, and we could say, what do you think, people of Alabama? Should we go ahead and save ourselves some money? Because we could, because my fiscal analyst over there at the Alabama Policy Institute, he says if we borrowed the money back from the Alabama Trust Fund, our savings account, paid off the debt, and then paid ourselves back, we could save about $275 million in interest. I'm telling you, y'all, there's a way to skin this cat. There's a way to do this. And we have to do it. We have to do it. We have to fix these prison systems. We have to fix it. I hate the idea of borrowing money, but at the same time, I'd much rather borrow it from ourselves. And at the same time, I'd a whole lot rather see the education budget share the load instead of sitting around flush with cash and pointing the fingers at the general fund budget and saying, no, 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 you pay for it. Don't touch our stuff. Can't work that way. We are one state. One state. And folks, this is going to happen this week. And so I would encourage you, tell your legislators. Tell them you would rather they be responsible with the funds. Tell them you want to know this is going to get fixed, but they're also going to be conservative in their next session and start doing things that we care about as conservatives. At the same time, tell them we'd much rather you borrow money from ourselves and pay it back than to do a long-term 20-year bond payout. Well, folks, that's in the weeds right there. But I would bet you that I told some of y'all some things about your state finances you've never heard before. Because all of that stuff right there, flies under the radar. Nobody in the state, for the most part, walks around knowing that we have a state savings account. No one knows we have split budgeting. And no one very largely knew that we had a prison system that is facing legal action that could result in prisoners getting turned out into the streets. And we do not want that. Lord God. Special session of the Alabama State Legislature. Let's get her done, folks. All right, we're taking a short break. Going to come back from it, and I'm going to move on to the next thing in my triple dipper, because I spent the whole first hour and 20 minutes talking to you about Montgomery and Montgomery spending and fixing the prison system. But I'm going to head down a different road when we get back. Got to talk to you about some stuff happening up in D.C. and around the world, because what's happening right now clearly indicates the world is a little less safe now. Maybe a lot less safe than it was 1 year ago this time. I'll tell you some things I've pulled in from different sources, some of which is going to curl your hair. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, and I got to take a second here and tell you about my friends at Otter Creek Farm. Had a friend of mine, another friend of mine, who was out flying today and said, had to go find this place you were talking about. Sent me an aerial photograph of Otter Creek Farm. You can see the lakes. You can see all the hundreds of acres of manicured grounds. I mean, it was so cool. And so I sent it on to my friend Frank, who runs Otter Creek, and just let him know that the listeners know where he is. They're flying over his property as we speak. But folks, I'm telling you, Otter Creek Farm is amazing. An oasis in North Alabama. So good that it was featured in Garden and Gun magazine. Donald Trump Jr. came in to stay there not long ago. And I'm just you got to check this out, OtterCreekFarmstead.com. Whether it be wing shooting or a wedding destination or a gourmet meal or just a relaxing day sitting out there enjoying the scenery, just check out OtterCreekFarmstead.com. You will be amazed. So folks, I said a minute ago that I'm headed down the line to my next thing. So I've got the triple dipper, three stories you got to know. The first one we've covered is the fact that Montgomery legislators, our state House and state Senate, are heading down to Montgomery. They're going to spend over $1 billion this week on prisons. How they do it matters. Are they conservatives? We'll find out. But truthfully, the issue has to be resolved. And at the Alabama Policy Institute and here at Right Side Radio, we know that it has to get resolved. And we issued a statement on that, which is coming out pretty soon. We've already sent it to all the legislators so they know where we stand. But the next thing in my triple dipper, three stories you got to know. This, the world is less safe today than it was a year ago. Now, I'm not a gloom and doom show, all right? I'm going to tell you the high side of things. I'm going to give you reasons to be encouraged. I'm going to talk to you about why things are great, why I love living in Alabama, why I love being a conservative, why I love the Lord, why I've got a great family. I'll tell you all the stuff that encourages me on a daily basis. But I have to tell you when I see things straight up that I think you need to know. And one of the things that's happening right now is that President Biden has truly, in my opinion, made America less safe than it was a year ago. Now, what does it take to be safer? All right, let's think about that. On the world stage, what does it take to be safer? Let me give you something that will fit into any conversation. You want to impress your friends? Use this one. You ready? Dime, D-I-M-E. What makes America safer? That would be the effective use of an acronym called DIME. The D stands for diplomacy. That's an effective foreign policy. The I stands for either information or intelligence, depending on who you're talking to. The M stands for military. And the E stands for economics. DIME. You say that in any, you know, garden club or hanging out with a beer watching the game or in the, you know, by the water cooler at the office, and people will go, man, that guy knows stuff. So the bottom line is this: America is less safe because the Biden administration has made a mockery of DIME. Their foreign policy is falling apart. The gathering of intelligence and information and disseminating it effectively is crumbling. The use of our military, just look at Afghanistan. Our enemies are bowing up left and right. And economics? Well, economics, even inside of our own borders, is becoming more and more difficult. And folks, this is a big deal. In fact, what's interesting was I was sitting here working on this piece, It's amazing when you find out that other people are already thinking the same way. So I found something in the Hill magazine written by, I believe it's Congressman Stewart from Utah. And Congressman Stewart wrote a piece, and he literally titled it, and by the way, I did not rip this off, but he literally titled it, President Biden is Making the World a More Dangerous Place. He goes on to say that, you know, Biden was elected saying he was going to make sure that America is back, and the United States intends to, quote, lead on all the greatest challenges of our time. Well, you know, the reality is looking a bit different. And he goes on to give some examples of that. He talks about the fact that America has always been the nation, since its inception, that has led the world through its darkest times, whether it be World War II and defeating the Axis of Evil to innovating the COVID-19 vaccines, all these things. America steps out and is an effective force on behalf of the world through its dark times. But right now what we're looking at are a series of things that are not effective uses of that acronym DIME that I told you about. The Taliban, ISIS-K, they're just completely unnecessarily emboldened. They're enriched. They're energized, if you will. I mean, right now they're arresting and torturing and killing Afghans. It's amazing to me, and I got some stories on that I'm going to show you here in a second. But then also, the humiliation doesn't stop with Afghanistan. All of our adversaries are looking at Biden as being weak. So like in the immediate wake of that disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal, did you know that China began performing assault drills near Taiwan? Yeah, that's right. Every indication is right now that China could accelerate its efforts to reclaim Taiwan. What is the Biden administration going to do if that happens? Well, right now, we cannot assume he would do anything to defend them. On top of that, Russia began increasing their cyber attacks on America the moment President Biden stepped into office, likely just to test his resolve, is what I would imagine. So how did President Biden respond? Well, the article I'm looking at from The Hill reminds us he cleared the way for a Russian pipeline that would boost their economies and enhance their ability to manipulate our partners in Western Europe. What? So, and if you remember too, he also met with Putin and he gave him a list of those targets that should not be hacked. Please don't hack these. What? You mean like it's okay to hack some but not others? Why is that the response to anything from a president of the United States? And he goes on to talk about the fact that we were energy independent, now we're not. About the fact that Democrats have either proposed or approved $16 to $18 trillion in new spending just since Biden took office. They're growing government at amazing levels, at unheard of levels. And we're seeing inflation right now at over 5% that we haven't seen in decades, which is basically like taxing. That's, by the way, when inflation happens because of government action, it's as if the government taxed you because you're paying more because of the government. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more to this story. When we come back in a few minutes, I'm going to show you some things about what's happening with spending in D.C. I'm going to show you some things about what's happening with a new wave of Haitian migrants heading towards our border, about things that Russia is doing in Syria, and oh Lord, what is happening in Afghanistan. Folks, the world is not as safe this time now as it was this time a year ago. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We will be right back.